If you were trying to think of something that would really make you have a great day, what would it be? You know, maybe your boss calls you and tells you you have a day off work and you're still going to get paid. Maybe you're delivering pizzas and somebody gives you a $50 tip for one pizza. You know, what is it that would just make you have a great day? You know, people are constantly striving to make their lives happy, to make them enjoyable, to make them satisfying. Well, the Word of God gives us the answer for really making our lives truly satisfying, to experience true happiness, to live a life that we can say, what a privileged life I have been given. You know, it doesn't mean that our life is going to be free from difficulties or free from trials. But when we follow God's pathway, it's going to be a life that is truly blessed of Him. And I'd like us to look at things really that provide true happiness in life. In John chapter 13 and verse number 14, I'd like us to start there. It says, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." And we think of a society in which they walked everywhere. You can think of dusty roads and a job that was not for the most important person in the house, you know, but from what I've heard is, you know, for the least important one, for the servants to do, the lower servants to do, to come and wash people's feet. It says, "For I have given you an example," verse number 15, "that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." You know, all of us know that it's good to serve. But there's something that gets in the way of us serving. You know, what is that? Well, it's our flesh, isn't it? You know we should help somebody out, but, you know, our flesh is saying, you're too tired. Or maybe we look at something, we see a need, but we think, well, that person needs to learn a lesson. You know, we come up with maybe some way that we can get out of doing what we probably should be doing. And, you know, our flesh doesn't like to serve. But notice what Christ said. He said, "If ye know these things," you know, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. You know, there ought to be a willingness to serve others, to not think that we're greater than someone else. You know, I wasn't able to necessarily verify if this story was true, but I've found a story. It said, during the American Revolution, a man in civilian clothes rode past a group of soldiers repairing a small defensive barrier. Their leader was shouting instructions but making no attempt to help them. Asked why by the rider, he retorted with great dignity, "Sir, I'm a corporal." The stranger apologized, dismounted, and proceeded to help the exhausted soldiers. The job done, he turned to the corporal and said, "Mr. Corporal, next time you have a job like this and not enough men to do it, go to your commander in chief and I will come and help you again." It was none other than George Washington. You know, are you willing to be a servant, or do you see yourself as above others? You know, the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "Happy are ye if ye do them." You know, true happiness is found in service. Somebody came up with this, but it's, you know, most people wish to serve God, but in an advisory capacity only. You know, and doesn't that describe us many times? But we need to be people that are willing to serve. It doesn't matter the job that's given us to do. You know, imagine young people at home. How much happier your homes would be if you would just step in and serve. You know, well, it's his turn to do it. It's not my turn. You know, parents have probably heard all the different excuses given of why somebody doesn't need to do something. But Christ has set an example for each one of us. You know, these weren't children in this instance. You know, these were adults that he gave the example to. And we as adults as well need to be willing to serve. You know, but young person, you're at a prime age to learn to serve. You know, if you can learn it when you're young, that is something that can produce happiness, true happiness, a state of blessedness in your life as you learn to serve. You know, it's going to require faith because our flesh is going to say that is not an enjoyable task to do. But are we going to listen to our flesh or are we going to listen to our Savior? True happiness is found in serving. There was a man, I believe he's an economist, John Kenneth Galbraith. I don't know how many of you have heard of him before, but in his autobiography, A Life in Our Times, it illustrates the devotion of his family's housekeeper, it was Emily Gloria Wilson. And it had been a wearying day, and he had asked Emily to hold all telephone calls while he had a nap. Shortly thereafter, the phone rang. Lyndon Johnson was calling from the White House. "Get me Ken Galbraith. This is Lyndon Johnson. He is sleeping, Mr. President. He said not to disturb him." "Well, wake him up. I want to talk to him." "No, Mr. President. I work for him, not you." "When I called the president back," this is Kenneth now speaking, Mr. Galbraith, the president could scarcely control his pleasure. "Tell that woman I want her here in the White House." Now here is one that was devoted to serving the one that was over her. And you know, how devoted are we to serving our master? You know, no one else is going to get in the way. And obviously we can serve him by serving others. Secondly, I'd like us to see that true happiness is found in giving. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 14. And obviously, service is an aspect of giving. But notice Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 21. And I'd like us to back it up a little bit. And start in verse 20, help us to get some of the context. It says, "The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he." As you look at this context, you know, it says, "The rich hath many friends." Well, why do the rich have many friends? Is it because there's so many people that want to help them out? Well, no. There's so many people that want a portion of what the rich have. You know, somebody wins the lottery and what, you know, all of a sudden they discover maybe some aunt that they never knew they had or some uncle they never knew they have, but they have, you know, family and friends that want to get a portion of what they've been given. And people will start giving it out and then they feel like they got to keep giving it out and they can, you know, lose their money rather quickly. But true happiness is not found in finding friends that can give you something. But notice what it says here. It says, "He that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he." Somebody who sees the poor, somebody who has that heart of mercy, that seeks to help, even though they may not get anything in return. You know, sometimes ministry in certain situations to certain people, you may think, you know, there's nothing that you're getting in return. But obviously, if you can minister to their spiritual needs, there's great joy that can result as those people turn to the Lord. But we find here true happiness is about giving. You know, don't just establish friendships based upon what you know that person can give you in return. The Bible says the rich have many friends, but happy is the one who has mercy on the poor. Thirdly, I'd like us to see, go to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 18. We see that true happiness is found in obeying. It's found in serving. It's found in giving. It's found in something as simple as obeying. Proverbs 29 and verse number 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Right? Where there's no giving of God's revelation. All right, one way that God would give revelation is through visions. Now, obviously, now we have the Word of God. But notice what it says. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You know, do you believe that tonight? That obedience brings happiness? You want to have a blessed life. You want to have a privileged life. Learn to obey. You know, there's another little quote that I saw, and it's, let's see here, I got to find it here. It is not the importance of the thing, but the majesty of the lawgiver that is to be the standard of obedience. Some indeed might reckon such minute and arbitrary rules as these as trifling. But the principle involved in obedience or disobedience was none other than the same principle which was tried in Eden at the foot of the forbidden tree. It is really this. Is the Lord to be obeyed in all things whatsoever he commands? Is he a holy lawgiver? Are his creatures bound to give implicit assent to his will? You know, in obedience, are we looking at, well, how important is that? Or is it the majesty of the lawgiver that is the standard of our obedience? That was Andrew Bonar that said that. True happiness is found in obeying. It says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let's go over to Psalm 128. Psalm 128, verses 1 and 2, it says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that what? That walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. A truly blessed life, a truly privileged, happy life is one that is spent in walking in the ways of God. Obedience is what brings blessing in our lives. You know, just learn to submit that will to what God would have for you. In Psalm 19 and verse number 8, speaking of the Word of God, says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You know, what can bring great joy in our life? What can bring rejoicing in our life? It's the Word of God. You need to think of the world in which we live and the sorrow and the misery that people are in because they have bought into the lie of Satan. And they're miserable. But it's the Word of God that's going to bring rejoicing to the heart. You know, our flesh is constantly the devil. Our flesh, you know, the world in which we live is constantly painting a different picture. That there's all these things out there that are going to make you happy, but they're not. A life of simple obedience to the Word of God is what is going to bring true happiness and true blessing in our lives. So true happiness is found in obeying. Fourthly, true happiness is found in guarding, and we'll talk about it a little bit after we get to the verse to help you understand what I mean by guarding. Well, what are we guarding? Well, let's go to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28 and verse number 14. It It says, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. So this aspect of guarding, this aspect of carefulness, happy is the man that feareth alway. Is there a carefulness in your attitude towards sin? You know, somebody that has fear about robbers and their house, maybe they live in a rough part of town. Okay, and they, what would they, what's maybe one thing they might do? You know, you think of the Ekmans in Argentina. You know, I think Nathan in South Africa. What do they have in their houses? They have alarm systems. I think the Ekmans talked, they were telling a story of to us one time. I can't remember everything that happened, but I think their alarm system was off and there was a robber in their house. And I can't remember all the details. But they have to be careful. So what do? They install an alarm system. Why? Because there is a fear, and it's not a unfounded fear, but there's a fear of robbers, so there's a carefulness. What do? They guard their house. You know, are you guarding your life? Is there a fear? It says, happy is the man that feareth alway. Is there a carefulness in your life? Is there a guarding of sin? Notice what it says, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Somebody that does not have that carefulness about them, but there's just a hardening. There's an insensitivity towards sin. There's a lack of carefulness. I'm not going to have any problem with that. And there's a hardness there. What does it say? They fall into mischief. Keep that carefulness in your life. Keep that attitude, that spirit of guarding. That's going to keep you from the pitfalls that sin is going to bring. You know, when you go out to do something, when you go to a place, are you careful? Are you guarding your heart? You know, Proverbs 4 and verse 23, keep thy heart or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Happy is the man that what? That feareth alway. Do you have that righteous fear in your life that keeps your heart tender towards sin instead of hardening it? And there's not a responsiveness, and so you fall into mischief. And then fifthly, I'd like us to see that true happiness is found in trusting. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16:20, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Notice the parallel ideas. Handling a matter wisely is parallel with what? Trusting in the Lord. Are you want to handle matters wisely in your life, then learn to trust God in those situations of life. Be willing to step out on faith and trust God's word and follow him, and that's going to bring true happiness in your life. It says, he that handleth the matter wisely shall find what? Shall find good. Whosoever trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Trusting God, learning to trust him, to put your complete dependence upon him. In Psalm 144 and verse number 15, it says, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. You know, in your life, who is the Lord? Who is God? Who is the one that's in charge? Are you willing to cast your dependence completely on him? Just one psalm over, one or two psalms over, 146 in verse 5, it says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Then verse 6, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. Where is your trust found tonight? Where is your dependence found tonight? True happiness is found in trusting. In trusting the one who made this universe. And depending upon him for the guidance that we need in our lives to make that next decision. True happiness is found in trust. There was a television program preceding the 1988 Winter Olympics featured blind skiers being trained for slalom skiing. Impossible as that sounds. Paired with sighted skiers, the blind skiers were taught on flats how to make right and left turns. When that was mastered, they were taken to the slalom slope, where their sighted partners skied beside them, shouting left and right. As they obeyed the commands, they were able to negotiate the course and cross the finish line, depending solely on the sighted skier's word. It was either complete trust or catastrophe. You know, do you have that complete trust in God? Or are you somebody that has to see the end before you're willing to make the decision? You know, we just need to see God's word. We need to be willing to trust him, to follow him. You know, our flesh is going to say something completely opposite. But are we willing to simply step out in faith and trust God? You know, those blind people, even for a couple seconds, if they were hesitant, you know, what would happen? They'd miss the turn. And that's where we need to be willing just to trust God and follow what he has for us. So we see true happiness is found in serving. It's found in giving. It's found in obeying. It's found in guarding our hearts. It's found in trusting, in believing. And then I'd like us to see that true happiness is found in enduring. You know, life is not always going to be easy. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. You know, what is the purpose of our lives? Well, the purpose of our lives is to glorify God, isn't it? 1 Peter chapter 4. And let's start in verse number 13. It says, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." You know, when you're reproached for the name of Christ, it's not necessarily something enjoyable to go through. But what does the Bible say? Happy are ye. There is an eternal perspective that we need to have as we walk on this temporal, in our temporal surroundings. You know, and it says, verse 13 gives us that eternal perspective. "But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with" what? "With exceeding joy." And it says then, if you are reproached for this name of Christ right now in the present, happy are ye. All right, this is, you know, think of the disciples. When they were reproached, man, they went away rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Christ's name. And I mean, it puts myself to shame. I mean, we get somebody that gives us a negative response to attract. You know, and all of a sudden it's like we kind of clam up and then we kind of, the next, you know, some, you know how it is, unless you're completely different than me, the next opportunity you get to pass out a tract, you're not quite as what? Bold maybe in doing it. Or maybe you don't even do it. But we need to have a different attitude. We need to see the future. We need to see that, you know, rejoicing. Think of the eternal joy. Think of the eternal joy that you can have as you see that person in heaven that you witnessed to and saw come to Christ. And so we find true happiness is found in enduring. It's not giving up in the face of adversity, but it's continuing on, even though you may be reproached for the name of Christ. It says in verse number 14 of chapter 3, "But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." Now I'd like just to end with Matthew chapter 5. Familiar verses, but reiterates the truth. Verses 10 through 12. Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." You know, may we have God's perspective on what is going to bring true happiness to our lives. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would help each one of us, Lord, to simply follow your word, Lord, in the things that are going to bring true blessing to our lives, that which is going to bring a truly blessed state. Lord, may we be able to sort through, Lord, all the lies of the devil that are out there and just simply follow your word. Lord, may you help us to have that servant's heart. Lord, may we be willing to give instead of always looking to get. And Lord, just may we have that perseverance in the face of adversity. And Lord, may you be honored and glorified through it, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.